This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas is certainly the Lone Star State, but it appears to be composed of two different states, one for the wealthy and the other for the impoverished. And these states are growing ever further apart. The income gap in Texas has never been bigger. The incomes of the richest 5% of households were 14.3 times greater than those of the poorest 20%. That's according to the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. And a new study using data from the IRS says the rich are getting richer and the poor have a shrinking chance of working their way out of poverty. Mark Frank is an economics professor at Sam Houston State University, and he compiled the research.
For Texas, we've reached new highs in the level of income inequality. The top 10% of income earners in Texas now earn over 50% of the income in the state. If you look at the top 1%, a more narrow definition of the very wealthy, that top 1%, they're now at nearly about a quarter of income share in Texas. And so those are some pretty high numbers. I've been tracking the Texas data back all the way to 1916, and those are the two highest. This is the highest year. 2012 is the year I'm talking about. It's the highest year we've had. And all that data. The next highest year, you have to go back before the recession. So if you look at like 2007, we were at that's number two. But so it's up. It's up pretty dramatically in Texas. Texas is not particularly unusual. A lot of states are up pretty high in income inequality across. So Texas actually dropped a little bit in ranking, even though we had a pretty big increase in recent years. We're about number seven in terms of the highest levels of income inequality among the states.
So can it be characterized that this is not a good thing?
I think that's actually a really good question. It depends on the views of mobility. I mean, I think for some people, a high level of income inequality could just be a reward for hard work. And so the real question is, you know, are you having mobility at the same time? You know, is there a chance for people at the lower income brackets to move up? I think that you know, even the cynics of this, even studying income inequality would acknowledge that if you don't have much mobility, then the high levels of income inequality are bad. I think you'd get probably universal agreement on that. And so that's actually the real question. I haven't seen a good study at the Texas level, just at the state level on mobility. But nationally, mobility has been stagnant since 1970s. There's a great study by Raj Chetty out at Harvard and Emmanuel Cias out at UC Berkeley that kind of track this stuff. And So in that sense, I would say that it is bad, given that we don't have great evidence at the state level on mobility, but at least at the national level, the mobility data is really kind of depressing. And so, you know, even to the most hardened critic of income inequality and is it bad or is it good, I think that you have to acknowledge that without increases in mobility, then it is problematic to have this level of disparity between the rich and the poor without a reasonable statistical chance of those at the lower income sort of tapping into those gains.
So it looks like if you were born into poverty, then you were very likely to stay in poverty, despite your best efforts.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually what the mobility does tries to track. It's trying to, you know, what's the, if you're born, say, in the bottom 10th, what's the probability you can reach the top 10th? And the studies that I've seen, they just haven't, there's a lot of regional variations. And typically in the South, in the Southeast in states, that it's pretty low mobility, some of the lowest in the nation. And there are worse areas than Texas, but, you know, that's nothing to hang our hat on. We don't rate. And some of the areas with the highest mobility tend to be out in California and some of these other states. And, you know, so far the evidence that I suggest, you know, it doesn't look particularly good for Texas. And that's what you really want to see. I mean, if you're going to have some income inequality, you know, maybe you could justify it if there's a reasonable chance of people moving up. But in the absence of that data, then, yeah, I mean, I think that some of the stuff is pretty troubling when you look at it, particularly the rise. I mean, just it's gone so fast that it's, you know, it wasn't just but a few decades ago. You know, you would see in Texas, the top 10% would earn about 33% of the income share. You can go back as early as the early 1980s and see numbers like that. And now, you know, it's gone from 33% to 50% income share of that top 10%. So, And it seems like a long time, but really is pretty short time, just a few decades. It's increased substantially.
When we look at this statistic, that growing income inequality, so does that mean that the rich are getting much richer, or the poor, are they getting much poorer, or is it just that the middle class is just being burrowed away, that's being vaporized?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. My data is, I really focus on the top income share measures, right? So it's hard for me to answer with just using the data that I've collected or what's going on at the lower end of the income distribution. I mean, the best I could sort of guess is that it's really about the rich getting particularly wealthy. I mean, when I look at my top 10 and my top 1%, it's really the very upper, the top 1%, and maybe even the top 0.1% that seem to be driving a lot of these income inequality increases. But, you know, I mean, I think that I have to be a little cautious here, because I actually don't know too much about those poverty measures, those low-end income inequality measures. Just not something that I'm able to collect with the data that I use. I would suspect that, you know, you do have some issues there, and it could be some of both. I mean, it's probably a reasonable thing, but I just don't have the data to answer that clearly.
Do we know if there's a geographic distribution element here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, whenever you talk about a state like Texas, we've got a huge demographic change. I mean, if you think about the Valley, McAllen and Brownsville, those are two of the poorest cities in the United States. I mean, just bar none, they're ranked number one and number two about in terms of poverty. And so you're going to mix those two cities in a state that also has cities like Dallas, Houston, even Austin, where, you know, has some of the, you know, number of millionaires are on par with cities across the world. So you've got a state where that's all kind of mixed together. So not unlike California, really. California's got some similar disparities between, you know, really, high concentration of wealth in some cities, and then some cities and counties that are some of the poorest in the country. And so, you know, when you get a big state like that, that's got this urban-rural divide, it's also got these, you just can't get much different than from, you know, some of the wealthy areas of Dallas, and you compare that to, you know, what you see in McAllen and Brownsville. So, yeah, I mean, demographics, the geography of Texas plays a huge role in why. I mean, if you actually go back and look through the data of Texas, which I've done, Texas has always had a high level of income inequality. I mean, we haven't had these numbers that we're turning in recently. We've never been this high, but we've always ranked, you know, top 10 or so in levels of income inequality. And that just has a lot to do with just the natural demographics of our state. And so when the whole United States goes through this period of rapidly increasing income inequality, you know, we see it here in Texas too, and we reflect that trend pretty accurately.
Well, I don't want to just make the impression that just because there's more rich people or the rich are getting richer, that's a negative in and of itself, is it? I mean, what should we learn from that statistic?
I think there's that's a good question. I think if you think about the causes of income inequality, and there's a lot of different reasons why, you know, we've had these increases, but I think education is one thing that economists really hone in on, and that gap between, say, college educated people that don't have college degrees, and that gap, those income gaps over a lifetime, continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that actually could be a major part of what's going on behind the story. It's just that this inability to keep up and to keep the number of college educated graduates increasing pace with some of the technological innovations that are taking place. And so that's, you know, for the state of Texas, for example, that's really kind of, I think the long-term priority here would be, like, if you really want to reduce income inequality, to start thinking seriously about the education system and maybe some education reforms, and whether that's it doesn't necessarily have to be at, you know, higher education and funding for higher education, maybe just, you know, better preparing our students so that when they get to the college level, they have a better chance of succeeding. And that actually could be more of the story about what's going on. Just that education gap could be driving a lot of this income inequality gap that we see later in life.
As an economist, I guess you see these things happen in cycles. What comes next in the cycle, the socialist revolution?
I wish I knew how to predict that. There's actually a great book by a French economist, Thomas Piketty, that came out this year that's been kind of the big hit in economics and then across disciplines too, called Capital in the 21st Century. And he makes this kind of argument that it's going to keep getting worse. And whether or not, you know, you buy into Piketty's arguments or his view of the world, that's a scary scenario. Are we going to continue to increase or will it come down? You know, we've had a kind of a history right before the Great Depression. Actually, in the 1920s, we had pretty high levels of income inequality. We've passed that now, but we did have a really high level of income inequality in Texas and in the United States, and it came crashing down, right? We had a Great Depression. We had a World War II. That's typically not the route you want to go to lower income inequality. That's not the solution you want. But it did the trick, and we had a really low period of income inequality for a long time. As you know, whether we'll go through some kind of collapse like that, you know, I really hope not. I hope we can find some structural reforms that'll.
Mark Frank is a professor of economics at Sam Houston State University. His new study shows that the income gap in Texas is greater than ever. The study was based on 2012 IRS data.